Okay, let's go ahead and get started. Welcome, everyone, and just very happy to welcome you to this last free teleclass about writing of 2019. It's hard to believe that we've gone through a whole nother year together. So happy to be doing these calls and connecting with you month after month. And tonight I think it's going to be especially fun. I think I say that every single time, but I always feel like it's true because each theme, each topic that we talk about is unique and fun in its own way. This one, I wanted to do something a little special for the holidays. And so stockings came to mind, partly because we were down in Missouri last weekend to have an early Christmas with the kids and grandkids. And a big part of that is always filling up those stockings and coming up with as many goofy, helpful, practical, fun things as we can to stuff into a small space. So I thought, well, why not do an hour on stocking stuffers for writing, for creativity, just kind of running the gamut, not around any particular theme, but almost like we're just reaching into a grab bag and seeing what's the next little gem that we can pull out. So what we're going to do tonight, as always, is we'll start with a guided meditation. And then we'll just go into talking about a number of different things. I just kind of started asking myself questions, you know, thinking, what are the questions that I most often get from my writing mentees? And what do I like to focus on as I'm writing that can really help me? So there are going to be some tips about time management, about scene starters, how to start a scene, how to start a chapter, perfect endings for chapters, favorite questions to ask your characters if you're writing fiction, and then just some miscellaneous. And really, all of these things can be applied whether you're writing fiction, nonfiction, blogs, poetry. There's going to be something for everybody here. Or if you're just thinking about writing or just love creativity, if you fall into any of those categories, there will be something here for you. So the very first thing to do, though, is to settle in because we're going to do our guided meditation for the evening. And because it is the end of the year, you'll see how that fits into the theme of the meditation. All you need to do is just settle into your seat, close your eyes, follow the sound of my voice, and know that this time is totally and completely for you. So I want you to just settle into your seat, close your eyes, and then take in a big, big breath. And let that breath out with a sigh. And take in another big breath. Really fill up those lungs. And exhale. And now one more time, big, big, big breath in, and let go. And feel how good it feels just to know that with those breaths, you are giving your body permission and cues to start to relax, not just a little bit, but to deeply, deeply relax. Letting any external distractions simply fade into the background. Letting any sensations in your body, any feelings of stress or aches and pains or any mental burdens, challenges, issues, just breathe into all of them, send them love and light. And let them all go with the next exhalation. Know that there is nothing that you need to hold on to in this moment. Nothing at all. Because all you need to do is simply show up, be present, listen, and let yourself go inside just a little deeper and a little deeper. Until you can touch and feel the peace and the stillness and the beauty within. And as you relax into this space, I want you in your mind's eye to just picture where you were a year ago during the holiday season, what you would have been doing December 19th of 2018, and especially where you were with your writing, your work, your creativity. What would have been going on in your life at that time? Let yourself just gently travel back to that memory and just observe where you were without any judgment. Simply with curiosity. Oh, look. Yeah, that's where I was a year ago. And just feel what it felt like at that time with your writing, with any creative pursuits, feeling any challenges that you had, any sense of accomplishment that you had. Just let yourself revisit it. And then just let it be. Let it be exactly as it is. And now in your mind's eye, I want you to see yourself just where you are right now, with your writing, with your creative pursuits and desires, with your work. Just to feel into what is true for you now, today. Again, letting yourself experience any challenges and also any accomplishments, victories, celebrations. And most of all, just take a moment to reflect on what has changed over this past year. Maybe how far you've come, how much progress you've made. Knowing that sometimes that progress can't be measured in the number of words that you wrote or the number of pages that you generated or the number of blogs or poems that you created. Sometimes that progress and that growth is that internal feeling, maybe of more clarity, more commitment, more desire, more knowing. Just take a moment to really give yourself credit for the decisions that you've made, for the time that you've put in. For the ways that you've shown up for yourself to keep moving forward in your craft and in your life. And now I want you in your mind's eye to fast forward to December 19th of 2020. Where we'll be a year into this new decade that we are about to embark on. And just imagine, let anything come to you that you would like to create by December 19th of next year. You can make it as general or as specific as you want. Maybe you see your book in finished form. You see it on a bookshelf. You see yourself at a book signing. Or maybe you just feel the feeling that you want to have inside of that great sense of accomplishment, moving through any challenges, trying out something new, of following your guidance to whatever is next, without your needing to know at all right now what that might be. Just let yourself see and feel you a year from now, feeling good about yourself, about your work, about your life, about your craft, and about the you that you are bringing to every aspect of your life as you show up in all of that creative beauty and light that you are. Breathe into that moment. Feel it. Trust it. And know that all is well. Also know that you can come back to this place at any time, to this present moment of clarity, of peace. You can come back to this time of looking into the future and creating with your thoughts what it is that you want, not just today, but also in the future. And know that you are laying the groundwork for that with every step that you take. Now take in a big, big breath. Let it out with a sigh. Take in another big, big breath. Let it out. And another big breath in. And let go. Then wiggle your fingers and toes. Be like Rudolph and wiggle your nose. And then very slowly and very gently, come back to your space and open your eyes. I'll give you just a moment to fully come back, knowing that it can take a few moments. Sometimes it just feels so good to sit quietly. So there's no need to rush. No need to hurry. That visualization really made me think about a conversation that I had with a writing client this morning. And as we started his session, you know, we were just kind of checking in, and I was asking him about some things going on in his life. And as so often happens, the event that was going on in his life that he described was directly related to what he's writing, but he hadn't necessarily made that connection for himself yet. And it's always so exciting, so inspiring, to see all of you, you know, as you're going through life and then you are bringing out and expressing your creative selves, the connection and the linkages and how your life feeds your writing and your writing feeds your life, sometimes in ways that we're not even aware of. He ended up, this young man, the writing client, he ended up saying at some point during the session, he had tears in his eyes from the things that we were talking about that are going on in his life and the message that he's conveying in his writing. And he said, you know, sometimes these are as much counseling sessions as they are about writing. And I nodded and I said, absolutely, you know, and that's, I don't take that lightly. I feel like that's such a privilege to be with anyone. You know, when you are taking a look at something in your life or taking a look at something in your writing, but knowing that they really, really go hand in hand, So I just say that as kind of my first stocking stuffer for the evening, that I really want you to think about, journal about, be even more aware than you ever have been about the day-to-day life decisions, experiences, conversations that you have that are so connected with your writing and vice versa. And know that everything that you're living, everything can find its way into what you're writing and vice versa. You are doing, as a writer, some of the most important work there is. Not that there's a competition about who's doing the most important work on this planet, but I can't say too often how much we need everyone's voices, everyone's perspectives, everyone's points of view and unique ways of expressing what only you can express. And so as you look forward into this next year and where you could want to go with your writing and where you want to go with your life, just really see those converge in ways that maybe they never have before. And know that if you haven't yet fully embraced creativity as a tool for living, that that can be a wonderful invitation in 2020. Wonderful way to start this new decade. So, okay, well, let's just jump into some kind of random, they're a little bit categorized, but they're sort of random, different tips, techniques, ideas, reminders, just a little bit of everything that can help you with your writing in different ways in this coming year and beyond. So as usual, I'm going to just talk for a little bit and then we'll open it up for Q&A. So please, you know, take some notes, jot down questions, because or jot down any tips and techniques that you'd have, because I'd really like this to be, you know, kind of a group discussion, and you've got your own stocking stuffers, your own favorite ways of doing things as you write, and I would love to hear some of those later on in the call. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about time management, because I know that that can be, oh my gosh, such a top of mind topic when you're writing, especially if writing is something that you're doing outside of your normal work or your normal life activities. You've already got a busy life, you're raising kids, or you have a full-time job. Now, how do you work in the writing? So one thing that I think can be really fun to do is to take a cue from what's known as the National Novel Writing Month in November that's been happening over the past number of years. Some of you may have participated in this. Probably most of you are familiar with it. It's the idea that in the month of November, people all across the country and around the world participate in this sort of shared project to see if you can write 50,000 words or a novel-length book in that 1 month, in 30 days. And clearly, the goal isn't necessarily to write a finished, polished manuscript, although that could happen if that's what your intention is, but it's really just to get a solid first draft down, or even a really bad first draft down. So what happens, a friend of mine actually participated in this in November, and she met her goal. She wanted to get 50,000 words done. She surpassed that goal by about 600 words, and she did it even though she was moving from one state to another and starting a new job and setting up a new household also in the month of November. How did she do it? She just basically broke it down and said, okay, I've got this many days in the month of November and I want to get to this many words. So what's it going to take? How many words a day do I need to write? And about how much time is that going to take? And she just basically set that monthly goal, put the dates and the times on her calendar when she could work that, you know, that word count in. And bear in mind, again, I mean, she's working a 40-hour or more week every week as well. And she just stayed true to that commitment because it was on her calendar, and she didn't budge from it. Now, some days were way more productive than others. Some days she surpassed her word count. Some days she didn't quite make it. And there were a lot of days when she thought, well, I don't know if I'm writing anything worth that has any value at all, but that didn't stop her. She just kept writing. So one thing that you could do as a time management technique is really just kind of consider every month to be your national novel writing month. Now, you don't have to set a goal of 50,000 words every month, but maybe you want to set a goal of 10,000 words every month. If you did that in 3 months, you could have, you know, a decent first draft for a nonfiction book or a novella. It wouldn't be a full-fledged novel because you need to be up around 60,000 words for that, 50, 60,000 words, but you'd have a really good start. In 6 months, you could have a novel. So whatever that word count is for you, just come up with the plan, come up with the deadline, come up with the, you know, putting it on your calendar every single day that you can. Break it down into a number of words per day that you want to write. And then the other thing that the friend of mine did, not only was she tapped into the big, huge, like thousands and thousands of people who are all talking about National Novel Writing Month and supporting each other, but she reached out to a few of us and she said, hey, I'm going to be doing this. Every Friday, I'm going to send out an email to my buddies. And could I make you one of my buddies so that I'm accountable to you every Friday? And if I don't send an email with an update to you on Friday, I need you to check in with me and see how things are going. So she had about 8 or 10 of us on that list. And every Friday, she sent out an update. You know, one time it was, I didn't do much this week. I kind of fell short. I didn't get as far as I wanted. But the update was still there, and the accountability was still there. And that's a great time management technique as well. Another thing that maybe is not so much time management as just keeping the momentum and the energy going, and this is true in any kind of creative project or any kind of writing that you're doing, it is kind of counterintuitive, but it really, really works. Let's say you are working on a book, you're in the middle of a chapter, and you are really in the flow of it. You feel like things are, you know, just kind of coming out on the page. It's really working. Before you come out of that place, out of that flow, and out of that momentum, stop. Now, this seems crazy. You know, part of you is going to be saying, but hold on. When I get to that place, I want to keep going and go as long as I can. And that, there's some logic to that. But what happens is if you stop in the middle of that momentum, that means that you know exactly where you're going to pick up the next day. You're going to carry over that enthusiasm to your next writing session, and you will just pick it up and, you know, where you left off and keep going. One of the things that gets in our way the most as writers or in life is when we just don't know what the next thing is to do. So if you stop at a place where you feel you've finished up a topic, a chapter, and you don't know where to go next, that can be really hard to come back to the next day because it's so painful. It's so frustrating to sit down in front of the computer or a blank sheet of paper and kind of twiddle your thumbs and think, I don't know where I'm going. So stop when you're already on the journey, when you already know where you're going. And that way, when you come back to it the next day, then you can finish it up, but then by that point, maybe something new will have come along and that energy can carry you into the next thing. And then stop again when you get into a place where you feel like, oh, I'm so jazzed, I'm so excited about coming back to this tomorrow because I can't wait to see how this ends, to see where it goes next. Okay? So really a powerful technique. And one other thing that may sound really old school and kind of cheesy, but it's actually pretty fun to do, is, I don't know if you remember, or maybe they still use them, but the United Way used to have these big thermometers that they would post on a building, let's say, when they were doing their big fundraising drive through the year. And they would have a goal set. So let's say the goal was $250,000. Well, as donations started to come in, they would fill in that thermometer from the bottom and work its way up to the top of $250,000 so that you could see at a glance how close the donations were to meeting that goal. And the thing is that it does something to us psychologically. It's like if we can see a numeric goal that we have or that somebody else has, we want to get to that goal. It's just like if you have, you know, a certain weight that you want to get to or a certain number of miles that you want to run or whatever it is, make that numeric goal, just like we talked about for a certain word count that you want to do in a month, and then draw a thermometer, you know, on a big sheet of paper or on the computer, wherever, and then literally every day or every week, whatever, go into it and fill in however much you did so that you can see how far you're advancing to that goal. And there's nothing like seeing your progress to give you a lift, give you another shot of energy, make you feel like, yeah, I can keep going, I can do this. And then as you get closer and closer to the top, to the goal, it's like, whoa, so cool. It just really gives you a feeling of accomplishment. If you find yourself stuck sometime, not getting the work done, not filling in the thermometer, it's so, so, so important not to use that as a reason to beat yourself up. This is when you go to your writing buddies and you say, hey, I'm feeling really stuck. Can you give me a tip or two or maybe a pep talk or something to help me get back on track? And then just keep going. Okay? So hopefully some of those will resonate. They're all just practical, easy. One of the most important things that I want to convey around all of writing, and especially around those time management techniques, is that so often writing is seen as something apart from the rest of the world, this mystical, magical thing that doesn't adhere to any of the rules of our physical world, and that somehow we're just supposed to get inspired someday, and then we'll sit down and we will write this perfect prose that will flow out of our fingertips, and then we will send it off to a publisher and become a best-selling author and live happily ever after. This is embedded in us. It's kind of like the fairy tale. You know, we all are looking for the Cinderella fairy tale ending, and that's what we think it is for book writing or for any kind of writing. The truth is, writing is just like washing the dishes. It's like doing laundry. It's like showing up at work every day. It's like studying, you know, going through school. It's like learning how to drive. It is no different from anything else that we do in life. I say that not to burst the bubble or to diminish the importance of writing in any way, but simply to demystify it. Because the truth is that just like anything, the more you show up and you keep doing it, the more you'll get done and the better you'll get to be. And that's it. That's it. Read as much as you can, write as much as you can, play with it as much as you can, and know that if you get stuck, it's kind of like if you don't do the dishes for a couple of days. The kitchen gets messy, oh well, then you clean up the kitchen and you just go on. That's it. So just I want you to really start tuning into that mentality. Again, not to try to lessen the significance of what you're doing, but to demystify the process so that you don't start giving yourself excuses for why things aren't flowing or why you're not getting things done. Okay? All right. So if any of you have time management or sort of time organization techniques, please jot those down. And then in a few minutes when we open up the phone lines, I would love to hear those. Okay, so let's switch to something, to a different stocking, or different stocking stuffers. These are about starting scenes. And it could be that you are writing fiction, could be that you're writing nonfiction, could be that you're writing a blog, poetry, whatever it is. Again, doesn't matter. In some way or some shape or form, you're going to be writing scenes no matter what your genre is. So let's say that you're writing a book of nonfiction and you're starting a chapter with a scene that, let's say you are writing about walking the Camino in France and Spain. something that a number of people that I know have done, and there are a lot of books about it, and there will be more books about it because it's unique to everybody. So let's say you're writing a chapter about the walk of the Camino, and it is a story, obviously, because you're talking about your experiences, but it's a nonfiction book because it did actually happen. And you also want to convey some lessons that you learned along the way. So how do you start a scene? Well, one way would be to start with a close-up. Okay, so let's say I know, for instance, that footwear is really, really important on the walk of the Camino. And El Camino is a walk that takes, if you do the whole thing, it takes about 30 days. Starts in France, goes across Spain, and it is a pilgrimage. Not an easy walk because you're up in the mountains. Sometimes you're on difficult terrain, even though there are paths. But what you wear on your feet and how you prepare your feet is really, really important. So let's say you're starting a scene and it's going to be about walking. Obviously, it's going to be about what you wear. Start with a close-up. Start with something like, I woke up in the morning and saw my shoes sitting next to the bed. That's like a close-up where you are training the camera on those shoes or those boots. Or you could make it even more close-up. You know, my boots, I took off my boots and set them by the side of the path and looked at the dirt and the rain on them and wondered how I would possibly go on. You can see where it's just like focusing in on one thing that then becomes the door that you go through to get to into the scene and into the greater point that you want to make. Okay? So it could be anything. The reason, actually, that this came to mind for me as a stocking stuffer tonight may sound a little strange, but years and years ago, I had a number of past life regressions done. So I would go to somebody who would lead me through basically a hypnotic session where you really totally believe we do go back into former lives and we experience something that then can be very helpful in knowing what's going on in our life today. It can be very healing. For me, whenever I had those regressions done, it was as though there was a camera and it would be so, so close up on something that I couldn't even tell what it was that I was looking at. And then it would be as though the camera started to back up and back up and back up. And as the frame expanded and I got a longer view, then I could see what I was looking at. And then the whole scene would reveal itself. So, for instance, one time I was seeing white, just this kind of black and white, and I didn't know what it was. And then as the camera started to back up some more, I saw, oh, it's lace. It's a pattern of lace. And then the camera backed up some more, and I saw, oh, it's lace on a dress. And then I saw it was lace on a wedding dress. And then I saw the whole scene that I was back in the 1700s in New England, and I was about to get married. And then the regression took me other places, but it all started with that intense close-up of something that was so close that I couldn't even recognize it with the lace. That's just something to think about as you're starting a scene. Now, you know, go as close to it as you can and then back up. Start describing a little bit more as you pull your reader into the scene. It's a really effective technique, okay? Another thing you can do that's really like the complete opposite but also works is start with an establishing shot like you see in a movie. So let's say you're watching a movie and part of it takes place on a college campus. Legally Blonde comes to mind for whatever reason. I don't know why. But, you know, there might be some scenes in that movie where she is downtown or she's shopping or whatever. So then there's an establishing shot of campus college buildings, university buildings. I think it was the Harvard campus, can't remember. So we see the exterior of a building, and now we know that the next scene is going to be inside that building. It's called an establishing shot because it establishes where we are and gives the reader, gives the viewer, as you're watching a movie, but gives the reader, in your case, the information and the stability to know where you're taking them next. So, obviously, this is different from what we just talked about because now you're describing a bigger picture first, and then you go in for the close-up. So let's say you are describing, we're back on the El Camino, and let's say that you are finishing up your walk for the day and you're walking into a village and you are seeing nothing but all white buildings kind of spilling out down the hills in front of you. And so you would describe what it feels like and looks like to just sort of come over the crest of a hill and see that landscape laid out in front of you. That way you have put the reader in that place, and now you can take us more specifically into a particular building, into that town, that village, wherever you want us to go. Okay? Another thing that you can do with a scene starter is to really just pick up on something that seems so totally unexpected that you just, it kind of grabs your attention, grabs the attention of the reader because you don't know where the author, where the writer is going with that. So, for instance, one woman that I work with, that I'm working with on her book, she has a character who's a mom, and the story is really about the mom's relationship with her husband, but she started one chapter with, her girls didn't look anything like her. That was the first sentence. Her daughters or her girls didn't look anything like her. And then she described what the two little girls looked like. And then she gave us a better sense of what her character looked like. And then she tied that into the central conflict between the character and her husband. But she kind of came in through the side door by talking about what the girls look like, something unexpected, a really good piece of information so that we can see those girls better, and we can see their relationship with their mom. But it was just different enough and unexpected enough that it really got my attention. So think about some aspect of your character or of your story that maybe you haven't written about yet, and start a scene by going through that door, okay? All right. So let me just do a few more real quickly here, and then we'll open it up. Excuse me. Okay. This is kind of a miscellaneous stocking stuffer, but it's one that was driven home to me here just recently, and that is about the importance of repetition within writing. If you read children's books, if you read to your children, if you remember the books that you loved when you were a child, most of them have a lot of repetition in them. Repetition is an excellent teaching technique, and it's done intentionally with kids because we're little sponges when we're little. So if we hear something three or four or five times, we've got it. We've committed it to memory. And that's why little kids, after you go through a book with them a few times, they're reciting those lines right along with you. And they love the repetition. Well, we forget that really as adults, we love and need repetition too. So the reason that I was thinking about this the other day is that a client of mine showed me a book that was written back in 1899, 120 years ago. And it's just this little book that I was not aware of. Some of you may be familiar with it, but it's called A Message for Garcia. And the idea behind it, it was written by a man who I think owned a newspaper and was very much involved in the railroads at the time, a wealthy man. And he wrote this little book. I mean, it was published as a book, but originally it was an article in a newspaper, probably wasn't over 1,000 words. And the whole point of it was that it just made me laugh as I read it because it was a reminder of how much things stay the same. He was complaining that he couldn't find any good employees, people who wanted to work hard, people who were well-educated, people who could just take direction and run with it. So the reason the book is called A Message for Garcia is because apparently during the Spanish-American War, I believe it was, this young man found a way to get onto the island of Cuba and go through the jungles and deliver a message to a man named Garcia. But the point of the article or the book wasn't that story. It was about who are the Garcias today? Who could we just hand somebody to? What employees are there that we could just give them an assignment and they would find a way to make it happen? If he were writing it today instead of 120 years ago, it would be a blog online and it would go viral and there would be several hundred comments from people saying, yeah, we can't find any good workers these days and people are, you know, they're slackers. We can't count on anybody. So the reason that I'm bringing this up is that within that article or book, he came back to that whole idea of a message for Garcia over and over and over again. In that 1,000 words, he probably came back to it 5 or 6 times. So he was just driving home the point in several different ways. We're looking for the people who have initiative, who are hardworking, who can come up with ideas and get something accomplished, do it, take on a task and finish it. Who among us, who will be the next person who can get a message to Garcia? So it became a metaphor for the point that he was making, and every time he came back to it, it was almost like this refrain in a song. So that's a long way of saying what I want you to do is to look at what you're writing, whether, again, it's a poem, a blog, a book, whatever, and look at ways that you can come back to a key theme over and over again. Know that this is very different from being redundant. That's not the point. This is an intentional restating of a key message that you're trying to get across so that people will, it will just be driven home in people's minds. And it works in fiction just as well as in nonfiction. So, you know, maybe there's a particular phrase or piece of dialogue, some saying that one of your characters says over and over. Just keep repeating it. Keep repeating it. It'll be a great way for readers to feel like they know that character better. Or maybe it's a particular event that you want to keep revisiting, or a theme or a metaphor. Just look for ways that you can build in repetition because it's really effective, and it will just stick with your readers in big, big ways. Okay? So with that, there's a little bit more that I want to talk about. Want to go over some other stocking stuffers that we can discuss, but I've been talking for a while. So what I want to do is see what you guys have got. Questions, comments, your favorite tips, techniques, anything that you want to share. I really invite you to unmute. Just press *6 once and say hello, and then come on the line and share with us whatever you'd like to share. I'll give you just a minute here. Be sure to say hello if you do unmute so that I'll know that you're there. And if you have never ever come on the call before, this is a great time to do it because anything goes. And I'll just give you a few more seconds here.
Good evening, Deb.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. And yourself?
Well, I'm very good. It's so good to know you're there.
To you.
Well, happy holidays to you, too. And
thank you.
Yeah, it's a great time to think about, hopefully, how this last year has been, where you want to go. So has this been helpful at all, or any particular ideas that have stood out to you?
Oh, it has, particularly the scene starters.
Oh, good.
I stumble over that over and over and over and over and over. How do I start this scene? What point, at what point do I begin this? What is this character seeing or doing or needs to see or do as this scene opens? And what is important for the reader to know?
Yes.
So,
yes.
I really like that. I've liked everything you've said tonight. And I also wanted to say thank you for doing these calls. Month after month after month, I have learned so much. And this call, being the last one in 2019, is no exception.
So well, I appreciate that.
I really enjoyed these and learned from them.
Well, really happy to hear that. And you are the reason that I keep doing them. You and everyone who listens in and offers comments and has questions. And so I just am very, very happy that that these calls are helpful. So, and I love those two things that you mentioned about starting scenes. You hit on two really important points about, you know, what needs to be expressed about the character and what does the reader need to know. And really, if you keep asking yourself those questions, they're going to keep you on track.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, one of the things that I see from a lot of writing mentees or clients is that there's information that can be good information, but it's not necessarily relevant or it's not made relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you can put anything. This is the secret about writing that we don't talk about very often. But you can throw the kitchen sink in, anything you're writing, and make it work as long as you intentionally tie it together with everything else and give it meaning. So those two things that you just mentioned, that's how you give things meaning and make sure that they're connected, that all of the threads are tied together. So that's perfect. It's just like make those two things your guiding light, and you can't go wrong.
Yes. I need to remember that because I get in the middle of it and my brain goes haywire.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what am I doing here? What am I trying to say?
Right.
And I get all confused and frustrated and what have you.
Yeah, and those questions will help you sort it out.
Mm-hmm. I need to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Well, I was just going to ask if there were any questions you had, but also any techniques or favorite tips that you'd like to share.
Yes, there is one, and that is the concept of mentors. I have journaled several times that I'm struggling in my writing because I don't have a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stepped back and looked at what's going on in my writing life. I am in two writers' groups. In one writers' group, one woman has agreed to mentor me.
Great.
I have a writing partner with whom I meet every other Monday for 3.5 hours.
Uh-huh.
I have a writing support team that I can send emails to or call and say, I'm struggling, I need some help, I need some validation, I'm frustrated, I need some help calming down. Just a support team there for me.
Perfect.
And awesome. I subscribe to a number of writing blogs. I have writing books. And I have articles I've gleaned from the internet.
Yeah.
So my life is really rich with a lot of mentors.
Yes. Love it.
And I just need to pay attention to them and absorb the information that resonates with me.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. Yeah, I love that because, you know, how often do we just keep looking and keep looking and keep looking and thinking
mm-hmm.
that what we need is out there somewhere, and then all of a sudden you stop and you realize, oh, I already have everything I need. I'm just not taking advantage of it or really paying attention as much as I could. So that's awesome and such a great, great thing for everybody to think about. Because what you're talking about, you know, really all of those resources are free. And how great is that? Yeah. So do you mind saying a little bit about how you, just real quickly, how you became part of the writing groups, how you found them? Because I know sometimes people struggle with, they would like to connect with other writers, but they're just not sure how to find them.
The first writing group I joined is held at a local library, second and fourth Sundays of the month from 10 until 1. And I was at Borders, I think it was, when Borders was open.
Right.
And I was talking to somebody, and I think I asked about a writing group. And they told me about that one. And they also told me there was one in Barnes & Noble, but they didn't know much about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I called the library, and yes, the group meets second and fourth Saturdays, 10 to 1. And so I just showed up at a meeting and didn't take anything with me. I took a notebook to take notes, but that was it.
Yeah.
And they asked me, did you bring any writing with you? And I said, well, no, not today. Well, next time you come, bring writing with you. Okay.
Yep.
And I was welcomed into the group.
Oh, that's
and
wonderful.
Then the second one I just joined in September. And my writing partner is a part of that group. And she and I have been working together 4 or 5 years now. So she's familiar with my efforts. She's familiar with my writing. And she invited me to join the group.
Great. Awesome.
So that's how I got into the second writing group.
Yeah.
And so I would encourage people to just ask, and maybe ask in not necessarily obvious places.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, even think about some of the resources available online, like meetups. You know, look for the local meetups in your community. Maybe if you go to a writer's conference or a writer's retreat, I know sometimes people, you know, several people from that group will just continue on as a group together and form their own writing group. You know, they're just, again, look around you at all of the resources that you do have, start asking and networking, and before long, I'm sure you'll be able to come up with a group. So, awesome, awesome, awesome.
And
well,
my writing partner, the way I've known her for several years, probably 20, 25 years. And so we both knew about each other's writing. And she had a small writing group for a while. We met at a coffee shop. And then that dissolved. And she had a small group in her home. And so we met there, and it was a very small group. There were four of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then two of the people, I'm not sure how to say this, two of the people decided to go in a different direction.
Yeah.
And so there were just the two of us. So we met at a Starbucks for a while, and then started meeting at Burgers. So we have lunch, and we talk about writing.
Cool.
And we talk about what we're reading.
Oh, awesome.
We read each other's work. We give each other feedback and suggestions.
So it really becomes a social gathering as well.
Mm-hmm. But there's
terrific.
Just the two of us now.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Well, I appreciate so much your sharing that. I'm going to move real quickly to something else, one other thing that I did want to talk about yet this evening, but it's such good information and good tips. And I really do encourage everybody to find a group, find a buddy, find a mentor in whatever way is best for you to really keep that momentum going. So thank you, Billy.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you. And again, happy holidays. And
yes.
I'll talk to you next year.
Okay, that sounds great. Happy holidays to you, too.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'll open it up here to see if maybe one other person has any questions, comments, favorite things to share. If not, I do have one other stocking stuffer that I wanted to share, too. Favorite questions to ask your characters. So we'll get to that in a minute, but if anybody else has anything that they'd like to share or ask, please do. Just press *6 to come on the line.
Hi, Deb. It's Angela.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. I'm
good.
Super excited about your little theme of stocking stuffers. That's very cute. And it's pretty profound, all of Billy's support that she's listed off. That's I thought that's a full-time job, just keeping up with all of those writing groups. But it is important. And I have found a little, there's two other women, and the three of us have created a little writer's group in our little town, and we're going to do a retreat here where we get together for a couple of days and read each other's work, and that's it's really important to be able to get that feedback and to be able to talk through being stuck. The other thing that I would just say is something that I learned from you a long, long time ago, which is setting intention, asking a question before going to bed and seeing if it shows up in your dreams.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So if it doesn't show up in your dreams, if you sit down to write the next day, oftentimes the answers are just there.
Yeah.
So for people that don't have tangible dreams. So
right.
I want to remind you of that little nugget.
Yes. Oh, thank you. That is such a good one and so powerful. You know, and it works for so many, for anything. I mean, my husband.
It does.
Yeah, who is a construction practical builder guy. You know, sometimes he'll go to bed at night and he'll ask for a solution to how to build something or how to fix something. And in the morning, sure enough, the answer is there. So it really, really works. And as you know, is an incredibly powerful way to tap into that guidance that we all have. So thank you for reminding me and everyone else of that. That's a perfect one.
Yeah. So, the other thing that I've been doing just for a little bit, about a week, is getting up at 5 a.m. and writing for 2 hours every morning. And I know that you said this over and over, first thing, do it first thing, do it first thing, but I finally am, and it's been powerful. So thank you very much.
Oh, you are so welcome. Oh, so awesome. Yeah, I don't know about you, but there's just something about the stillness and the peace and the focus, just that focus. Plus, you know, I think we're still kind of partly in that dream, sleep, creative time.
Yes.
You know, even if we feel like we're fully awake, there is something about the hush of the world at that time of day that contributes, I think, in powerful ways.
So, it does. So thank you for that. And thank you.
Good for you. Kudos to you for doing that.
Yeah, thank you for showing up every month and hosting this. It's always refreshing to do the little exercises in the beginning. So thank you.
You are so welcome.
And I want to hear your last stocking stuffer, so I'm going to mute myself again.
Okey-doke, but thank you so much. And can't wait to see your writing in 2020.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Okay, well, so for the final stocking stuffer, I love this because getting to know your characters, if you're writing fiction, or getting to know the people in your nonfiction who actually are also characters is so important. So we've talked on some of the previous calls about the questions that you can ask your characters. And you can do this, you know, let's say you are writing about fictional people. These are the questions that you want to sit down and literally in your mind, just see yourself meeting with them, having a meal with them, and then ask these questions and see how they respond. And if you are writing nonfiction and you're writing about real people, then these may be things just to think about. You know, do I know the answers to these questions? And if you don't, some of the questions will be relevant to what you're writing about, some won't. But I want you to just use these, again, as kind of instigators, catalysts, to come up with really great questions that you want to ask. So I've got quite a few of them here. One is, to ask, what is your favorite breakup song? When you've had a breakup in a relationship, what's your go-to song to just kind of either wallow in the misery of it or to help give you some inspiration and give you a lift to feel better? Another question to ask your characters, what do you do when you're alone on a Saturday night? You know, when it's just you, what is, again, is it something kind of going back into memories, replaying old, difficult times, challenges, coming up with something creative? see what it is for your characters or for the people that you're writing about. This one I love, and, you know, I just kind of sat down before the call tonight and just let questions come, and I loved this one. What have you known about yourself since childhood? I think all of us, there's, you know, we can tap into that deep part of ourselves where we really know ourselves well, even though we forget. So what have you known about yourself since childhood can be very revealing. What's one thing that an adult told you when you were growing up that changed everything for you? It could be a parent, could be a teacher, you know, could be whoever, but someone who really changed your life with something that they told you. Where in your house or apartment or neighborhood did you spend most of your time when you were a kid? And then who do you want to celebrate with when something good happens in your life? And who is your greatest hero? So, you know, even if you weren't writing, just to sit down and have a conversation with a friend or a spouse or a family member, asking those questions just to get to know them better could be a really cool thing to do. You know, maybe ask some of these things when you get together for the holidays. But then also know that the people you're writing about, real or fictional, that they've got those backstories too, and those kinds of questions are great ways to tap into parts of them that you don't know yet, that can expand and deepen your story in untold ways. Okay? So with that, we will wrap it up for tonight. But we will be back together January 16th of 2020. And I just have to put in my own little plug because it's so exciting to me that my book 20 is coming out in 2020. It is going to be released January 28th of 2020. It's so exciting because today, just this afternoon, I heard from the publicist at my publishing company who said that Booklist had just come out with a really positive review of the book. So I am super excited. I hope that all of you will pre-order, you know, share it. Hopefully you'll enjoy it, post reviews about it, all of those things that we all want to do for one another as writers are just so awesome. So, again, just I'll leave it at that, but I just want to thank you for who you are, for all of the creative energy that you bring to the world, all of the light that you bring. I wish you all the happiest of holidays with great creativity, great love, and great light in a wonderful beginning to 2020. So I'll see you back here January 16th of the new year. Happy holidays, everybody, and blessings to you too. Bye-bye.